Welcome to show 71, BigFoamyHead.com, Yazoo Beer Show.
Festival. We're gonna
have them come over and stand by the garbage can and have a beer with us.
Eat some rib and
that's right.
Hang out by the garbage can.
That's right, like we did last year. And that was Statesboro Blues. You know, the Allman Brothers, if you've ever looked at their songs, I was trying to find one under 5 minutes. The guys are like a blues jam band. I saw one song, I swear to you, I forget which one it is, 34 minutes. That's a long song.
That's a long song. They got a classic Southern rock story, though.
Yeah.
That we don't have time for on the show.
But we have got some classic Southern beer.
Yes, we do. Yazoo Brewery. Yazoo Brewing Company out of Nashville, Tennessee. www.yazoobrew.com.
Yep. And they've got a cool video on their website.
And an awesome brewmaster, Linus Hall. Mm-hmm. Met him a couple times now. He's been promoting the fact that they're now distributing in Memphis.
And we are glad of it. It's some fantastic beer. And most folks in parts north can't get their hands on it. But this is one of those beers that I think you'll see coming your way down the road as they grow.
And we interviewed him. And it's pre-show video. If it turns out, you'll see it anyways.
Yeah, but you'll see it.
The
you'll
video quality it. May not be so hot.
You'll see it, and you'll like it. Yeah. You hear me, mister? You'll watch this video. I don't want any back talk.
If you can't see what's going on, it's two guys sitting at a table drinking beer. What you really need to do is focus on what we're saying. So,
yeah, no, it's a great discussion. It was a great job on it, and you even got the cute waitress to do us a little plug.
A little so that was great. .com.
So, we're starting off.
So we killed our first growler before we even started the show.
It's that good.
We brought in some help. We have Mike Bond here to join us. And
Martin. And Martin Wills. I definitely enjoyed that first growler.
Yep. The award-winning Hefeweizen that we had.
And of course, I'm choking up, making all kinds of background noise for you.
Gold medal award winning.
Talk all over you, Mike.
What did you guys think of the Hefeweizen?
I was going to say that. Being a gold medal winner, that's a pretty good accomplishment, and definitely gives my seal of approval.
And Martin Wills is joining us, too. He's back. He's been gone for a while.
Back in black. He's got his AC/DC shirt on. What'd you guys think of the Hefeweizen?
The Hefeweizen was great. It was not too banana-y, not too clovey, all those things that Hefeweizen can go in one direction or another. I thought it was very good.
I thought it was fantastic. The more you let it sit in your glass, the better all the flavors came out.
And you rolled it. That was one of those things that every time we have Hefeweizen, we never, in addition to not ever saying the name correctly, we always forget to roll the bottle. The idea, and it says on some bottles, Hefeweizen, to gently roll it to agitate the yeast to infuse it throughout, right? So we had some, and it wasn't that much of a head, right? And so for round two out of the growler, Rick gently rolled it, and the thing was like erupting. Apparently the CO2
had
settled down a little too, and it's good. But it's a very good beer, and I'd say just a complete right blend of everything.
So what are the brewer's comments on this? How do you want to mix that in?
Well, why don't we just listen to... Here's Linus telling us about his Hefeweizen.
Our Hefeweizen, this is one of my favorites. It's a great summer beer, but we brew it year-round. It's a very simple beer. It's brewed very traditionally. It's 70% wheat. We get, the Weihermann wheat from Germany. Uses a true Bavarian Hefeweizen yeast strain, so you get that wonderful banana, clove character to it. And we're real proud of this one. Being a young brewery, we've only entered the Great American Beer Festival, two or three years now in a row, and we won the gold medal for this.
Did you really?
Yeah, the first year we entered. So, yeah, real proud. It's,
amazing, actually.
For a brewery, it's kind of like winning the Kentucky Derby.
You can tell they're proud of that one. Well,
they did,
of
yeah.
course. I mean,
well,
you win the Great American Beer Festival.
That's right. Get your gold medal on, right? What are you going to do? Right? But the Hefeweizen was really good. I think a great starter beer.
And so I got a little bit of background on Yazoo Brewery. It was located in what was once the Marathon Motor Works building from 1910 to 1914. Marathon Motor Works made the first automobiles ever to be produced in the South. About 5,000 cars were made in those years, earning Nashville the nickname Detroit of the South.
I've never heard of that.
Despite the popularity, the handcrafted cars were expensive and soon lost the market to the mass-produced cars of Ford and others.
So this is like a car called Marathon?
It's Marathon Motor Works.
Kind of like the Tucker.
Must be.
They produced 5,000 cars and shut down.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay then.
That was before air conditioning. I wouldn't want to work in a factory in the
South.
That was
when the world was in black and white.
It was.
Dinosaurs roamed the earth.
Speaking of black and white, go to the website, the Yazoo Brewery website, and check the video out.
Yeah, they got a really
the
cool video.
The video is cool. And I know there's a story, and I meant to ask you to ask Linus, because it was a filmmaker that did it, right? I mean, it's extremely well done. It's a musical.
It says The Yazoo Movie.
The Yazoo Movie. So check there. We got a link on the website. Click on it. Go visit there. And
So yes. Yazoo Brewery owners, Lila and Linus Hall, are both from Mississippi. Yazoo, Mississippi.
Yes.
And moved to Nashville in 1996. Lila's been brewing for over 10 years and has a craft brewing degree from the American Brewers Guild in California with an internship at Brooklyn Brewery in Brooklyn, New York.
Oh, okay.
Did he initially go there to work in the automobile factory and find out it wasn't there anymore? Or?
No, he's a home brewer gone pro.
Ah.
Yeah.
Which is, that was, we've had this discussion before, and people have weighed in on the website about does it help, does it not help, and I think this is...
In this case, the guy had the fever, obviously, the brewing bug.
And, and he went and got the education, and Brooklyn Brewery, that's a good place to intern at.
As we discussed during the interview, they're brewing about, last year they brewed 4,700 barrels on a 10-barrel system.
Really?
Yeah. So they're brewing like three times a day.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's they're keeping that thing running. Several shifts.
And distribution's going high. It grew 60% last year.
Yep. So, well, and that's, tremendous growth. You do a good job, and that's what's going to happen.
So what we're having now... is the pale ale.
Pale ale.
And this is pale ale.
Now, is it called a pale ale, or he just refers to it as an Amarillo pale ale?
He doesn't
ale?
Call it Amarillo ale.
Okay.
But it is.
But it is. Okay. And so let's hear what Linus has to say about his pale ale.
The Amarillo pale ale, like you said, it's an American-style pale that features a pretty new variety of hops. It's called an Amarillo hop. It's getting to be a very popular hop. We actually have to contract with the growers to make sure we get enough for each season. And the Amarillo hop is it's actually a wild crossbreed of a Cascade variety, which is the signature hop in Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, and a German variety. And I actually tracked down the grower, and he told me this really cool story of how they found the hop, growing wild in a field of Cascades, and had it analyzed, and they think it's probably a German, like a Tettnang or Perla, possibly.
Now, I always consider Amarillo to be like Amarillo, Texas. I understand this was Yakima Valley?
It's Yakima Valley. I don't really know why they named it Amarillo. It's they're of Hispanic descent, the people that found this hop, and Amarillo means yellow. That might have something to do with it. But no, it's not Amarillo, Texas.
Okay. I brewed with this also. What kind of malts did you add to it? It's got kind of a golden oranges color. It looks like pale malts.
We use a lot of English pale malts, a little bit of Munich from the Weyermann maltings, and then some Vienna, and a little bit of Belgian light caramel malt. So,
well, Munich and Vienna are two of my favorite malts ever, and Amarillo is my favorite hop. So you got yourself a real winner in my book here.
So they really do have a winner there. I mean, it's just the Munich malts, the Vienna malts, the Amarillo hops. You can't go wrong.
Yeah, I like the Amarillo hops, and got exposed to them last summer.
James Spencer Brewing. And he then does you a really went, good Amarillo ale.
And then you went and brewed some.
Yes.
With this, and it's really...
And they are hard to get.
Yeah, it's really an interesting kind of ale. Like you said, it's a wild version of a Cascade, and it's like got a little German influence to it, and it's very, very good. Very good.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of the beer?
I love it. I mean, I like a good pale ale. This is one, we had an IPA earlier just for fun, and
in case four growlers weren't enough.
Yeah, safety beer. But an IPA
those are liver stretching beer.
They're one end. This Hefeweizen was the sweeter, lighter end, and this is kind of good middle of the road hop.
It's around 6%,
yeah,
and it's a true pale ale, not an IPA.
Right. So this is an American pale ale, which is just a little, and for lack of a better word, there's so many styles. I mean, I guess we didn't nail them on the which BJCP.
See, I'm not sure if an American pale ale is actually an American Imperial pale ale. Or if it's an American pale ale, just a regular pale ale.
Well, it's a good pale ale. Good pale ale.
Do any of the other websites rate this beer?
I didn't look.
Because it's not exposed. Mm-hmm. We could go on to Rate Beer and jack the ratings up.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah, we could sort of skew the ratings.
It's a real good beer.
It's very good. This is one you could drink a lot of.
It's exceptional. I would love to have. Well, we do now have access to it.
Yeah, that's right. It's now in our stores, so we can get this.
So all you Memphis folks, and of course Nashville people already know about this, but the Memphis folks, go out and buy you some.
And this is a good beer, hopefully to have a few before you go downtown here the next month or so, going to our annual event, the Memphis in May. This would be a good beer. I hope, you know, like we did last year, before we got inside the park, we'd stop at the Flying Saucer and slam down a few quality beers before we went in to get to the quantity beers.
Yeah.
Well, so we've got some Yazoo to look forward to this year, which we didn't.
The Flying Saucer was always our first stop.
That's right. And, 10 o'clock in the morning, it's after 5 somewhere in the world. So.
Well, beer's not just for breakfast anymore.
That's right. Beer is healthy. It's good for you. So we get the fiber in there. So we have had beer and eggs before. So I brought up Memphis in May. There was actually a reason for that, not because I was wandering.
I'm sure it was a clever segue.
Nah, I lost clever there. But the Allman Brothers, who we opened with, and every artist, every blues artist that we play from here on up to May 7th, 5th, 6th, 7th, are all going to be people coming here that we're going to go see. And hopefully we'll get to, break into their trailers and interview / terrorize them. So all right, the interview may just consist of screaming.
They're going to put a police watch on us, and we haven't even gotten in the gates again.
Hey, we're going to give them a heads up. Make it interesting. We're going to do something you just don't know when or where. And hopefully no one we watch will die this year.
So, although we do plan on watching Jerry Lee Lewis.
I know, so be forewarned.
Start the death watch.
That's right. Get your bets in now because that's what happens.
Whether he'll survive a year.
Yeah, where you got him on your card.
Well, we go see them. They die. We killed two last year. So you got to be careful. If there's somebody you don't particularly care for, you let us know. We'll go stand up front.
So you're the reason why Andy Nicole Smith is gone.
Well, that was... Yeah,
we didn't want to talk about that.
Rick's trying to keep that from
I am the baby's daddy.
See, you let it out of the bag, Martin. He was trying to keep that from his wife, but now she knows.
Is that why you're going to Bermuda now?
That's it.
He's wearing Bermuda shorts.
My frequent surreys into Bermuda.
That's right. Your clandestine rendezvous.
I'm not even sure surrey is a word, but I just made it up.
It sounded good.
It sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah. So
okay, well, this is going down well.
It is. It's going down real good, and we're down half a growler.
We got two more growlers to go.
So just for you math aficionados, a growler is half a gallon. So we're going
four
through
pints each.
2 gallons of beer, almost. Mm-hmm. Right, we're saving a little, bit.
We're holding some back for a recipe
But Mike, just in case, he's got his insurance beers. Yeah. That he brought back.
Just in case he gets thirsty during the night.
Yeah, you never know.
If we slow down or something,
Yeah.
Anyway. So what you got coming up?
We got a lot of stuff coming up on the show. We've got some interesting beer news from our pal Rick Light, who, apologies to Rick for not getting him on show 70, which ran so long. And in case you didn't hear it, go back. We did do a special little news-only segment that jumped up there, and we've got an interview with the 2007 Beer Drinker of the Year, Dr. Diane Catanzaro, and man, she was fun to talk to.
Yeah, that's scoring the big interview right
there. Yeah, yeah, and we had a big
old
time.
That's because we're all suave and sophisticated beer casters
here. Suave and the boner.
There you go.
Yeah, we'll just hurry on over there and talk to her. All right.
Is
so,
she coming to Memphis in May?
She ought to, but no, she's in Virginia.
Mm-hmm. And, Tidewater area.
Yeah. So
it was actually a very pleasant interview.
It was. It's great. So we got her coming up, and who knows what, and let's take a break and listen to Coco Taylor and come back and have some more Yazoo beer. So this is, if you can't get it out of a growler, you can always get it in a bottle, and this is Coco Taylor with Beer Bottle Boogie.
About. Shout to be a bottle boogie, beer bottle boogie can save your soul. Cause it's the beer bottle boogie, you know. Beer bottle boogie for sure. Everybody join it. Beer bottle boogie now. Well, I don't like beer when it goes too fast. I don't like foam in a muggy glass. Come on, I drink good beer when I go home. I got the beer bottle boogie, you know. Beer bottle boogie for sure. Everybody doing it. Beer bottle boogie now.
Coco Taylor, Beer Bottle Boogie. And I know some of you guys skip the songs. Don't skip this one. Go back, play it again. She wrote the song for us.
Yeah, it's all about the big foamy head and about drinking good beer.
Good beer. Right.
So, more Memphis and May artists, as we mentioned.
Coco Taylor. We have a little bit of exciting news. There was a nail biter where in Memphis Tigers are in the Sweet 16. They just beat Texas A&M.
Hooray. Wow,
go Tigers.
Late eight.
Yeah,
they were in the Sweet 16. They're now in the Elite Eight.
They're now in the Elite Eight. And, well, Southern Illinois, sorry, Groucho and Chud, they lost.
Yeah, had your ass handed to you.
But what's the team name? The Puppies? The Sukies? Or
the Salukis?
It's a racing dog.
A racing dog. Yeah.
Well, they lost this race.
Mm-hmm. So, Kansas beat them. That doggone hunt.
Kansas beat them.
So, we got another beer from Linus and the folks at Yazoo.
Dos Perros.
Dos Perros, which is two dogs. Which reminds us of a horribly offensive joke that we're not going to put on here because we don't want to get our explicit rating, but...
Well, we can clean it up. Little Indian boy goes to his dad and said, Chief Running Water, why is my name... or
Two Dogs Humping?
Yeah, why is my name Two Dogs Humping? And the Indian chief explains, well, whenever a young child is born in our tribe, then they look out the wigwam, and whatever they see, that's the child's name. Why do you ask Two Dogs Humping?
Brum pum.
You blew the punchline.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mike. This is a classic joke. It's been told 1,000 times.
I thought that was the punchline. Why do you ask Two Dogs Humping?
Speaking of Indians, Yazoo.
How about them Indians? The Yazoo.
You got kinfolk from Yazoo, right?
I do. Actually, my father was born and raised in Yazoo, Mississippi, and was the first pepper to migrate to Tennessee since 1710 when we arrived on these shores. And oddly enough, Carolina, which is near where our guest coming up lives, Diane Catanzaro, and she is the winner of the 2007 Beer Drinker of the Year. But we were talking about Indians and Yazoo Brewing, and I know this, and I mentioned this to Linus. I said, "Oh, you named it Yazoo." And he said, "Yeah, because that's where from Mississippi." I said, "Well, you know, Yazoo means Black Death." And just to be sure, because this is what I've been told all my life, right, by my father about the Yazoo and the Indians down in Yazoo and stuff. And so we checked it out, and we confirmed it with Wikipedia. Is it sure enough?
River of Death.
Now, didn't you say LaSalle found the river in 1892?
Nope, 1682.
Oh, 1682.
Even okay. Earlier. That was his brother, Bob LaSalle.
Bob LaSalle.
In 1892. That came and said, found it again. Yeah, this is what Fernando discovered, or Diego, or whichever LaSalle boy that was.
As most areas of the South, this place is steeped in Civil War history. There's like 29
ships sunk underneath the water. So it's way down. It's Delta. So it's a very interesting country, and Linus left it and moved to Nashville.
Moved to Nashville and named his brewery after Yazoo. So we're
drinking that. And
so what does Linus say about the Dos Perros?
Let's listen to Linus describe Dos Perros and why did he make this beer?
This was a beer that I came up with for my sister's wedding in the middle of the summer in Mississippi, and she wanted to have a dark beer. I said, well, I'll try to make something that's dark but finishes really light and clean. And this is along the styles of what I'd call a Mexican amber. If you've ever had Negra Modelo, Dos Equis amber, it's that style. A lot of German brewers came over to the New World, you know, in the late 1800s and settled
in Mexico.
Yeah. South Texas, and tried to recreate a lot of their alt styles, their Vienna styles.
Without refrigeration.
Using what they had available. And so they ended up using a lot of adjuncts as well as just basic malt. They used a lot of corn. They used a lot of rice. And that's why those styles developed right there. You know, I'd say the Shiner Box, the Negra Modelos, that style of a darker beer but lightened with a little bit of adjuncts.
Yes, I'm doing it.
Or an Indian brave?
A brave Indian. So speaking of two dogs doing something.
Dos perros.
Dos perros.
Very good. You got
that. I was talking about two dogs humping with their beer, you know.
That's right. Two dogs humping under a truck while drinking cerveza.
Yeah.
So this is a really tasty beer, and my wife came in while Linus was talking, and she gave
it the highest praise.
Very high praise. It's not bad. So she didn't say it tasted like
wild.
For your wife,
that is exceptional high praise.
This is one of her favorite beers. And she said, oh, did you make it? Which is the only thing I've ever done beer-wise that she's cared for at all. Which, of course, shows that she does know good beer from bad beer because Mussmann sucks. But this is very good.
Are you
very
having
good.
Self-esteem issues?
No. Not all of it sucks. Just a lot of it. You know, I take the easy way out with these mixed water and bottle crap, and I get what I pay for, right? So, So the Dos Perros
was very good,
and it's going to be good as soon as I bottle it. The homebrew update still in the fermenter. End of update. The Dos Perros though, this is a good cerveza. This reminds me of Dos Equis Dark.
That's what he was going for. He was going for the Modelo.
Yeah, the Negro Modelo. Yeah, I like that. I like the darker cervezas, and they're really
a bunch of Germans down in Mexico, right?
Well, I know down in Argentina.
No, they made it down to Mexico.
Moved out to Mexico? Okay.
That's where that whole style of the Coronas and all that came from.
It's very good. Now, and what I've always wondered about this, the kind of interesting kind of twang that cervezas have, what kind of hops are they using? And is this a strain, is there a cerveza yeast strain?
Well, the whole thing is that they were trying to do the Germans brought their lager yeast from the fatherland.
Mm-hmm.
And down in Mexico with no refrigeration. You know, it's not like Germany where you have caves of ice and things like that, and you can lager your beer for the entire summer. Okay. So they're taking these lager yeast and they're brewing hot, basically. So that's where you get the unique taste.
So it's not as lagered as you think. But it's very good. It's a good taste. And in the summer, good beer. And I know the style in the Mexican restaurants is drop a lime in there. And I believe on the video, y'all talk about, in one place or the other, dropping fruit.
Flying saucer, they gave us a little slice of lime to go with the beer.
That's the mandatory viewing video.
That's right.
You must watch it. You're not allowed to listen to the show until you watch the video. It's our rule.
And you must listen to the music.
That's right. You got to go back and listen to
it. It's all part of the
Coco Taylor
cohesive unit of what is Big Foamy Head.
That's right.
The beer, the blues,
also
and the barbecue.
We have to use napkins and utensils when we eat.
No, we don't use no utensils. That's what that box of party picks, toothpicks is for there. And that's optional.
I thought that was for cleaning out our ears.
All right. We're going to raise the level of class and culture of this show 100 notches right now. Because we're about to talk to the beer drinker of the year.
Yeah, this is Dr. Diane Catanzaro. She is professor of industrial and organizational psychology. She went to
she's got a degree.
Yeah,
she's all learned.
She's all educated up in there. She went to the competition. Is it Wincoop Breweries?
Yes.
Colorado. And, she competed in a grueling death match. I believe that she was the only one to actually survive. Everyone else is dead. And I'm sorry, Mike's yanking on my cord. And I mean that in the kindest possible way. Thank you, Mike.
Is that why
Mike
you're
just turned
red
three shades of red.
You can let go of my cord now.
You were yanking my chain.
So, Dr. Catanzaro, or as we call her, Diane.
It's a lovely interview.
It's a great interview. She's just a very, very nice person and full of information, as you have to be. The beer of the year, beer drinker of the year, is nothing for lightweights. You got to know your beers inside out, upside down.
It's not Chugarama. It's not doing keg stands and beer bongs and
shotguns. It's a very serious competition. This is not her first time there. She's been a finalist, but she took the prize this year. So here's Diane. So we're joined with Diane Catanzaro, who is the 2007 Beer Drinker of the Year. How are you, Diane?
Hey, I'm fantastic. How are you?
Very good. And we're very appreciative of you taking time out from your royal duties as Beer Drinker of the Year to talk to us. And we know you just got back from Belgium, leading a group of college students over there.
Yes, 14 undergraduates.
And so you're taking college students to bars in a foreign country. Nothing could possibly go wrong with that.
Well, we're there to experience art, culture, and so forth. It's a liberal arts study abroad, 10 days in Belgium. So when you're studying the art of a region and the culture of a region, their local pubs and taverns are a good way to experience some of that.
I want to sign up for that class.
Yeah, really? Can we do this like online and just meet you there?
And skip all the tests and everything except for going to Belgium and drinking beer.
I was going to say, actually the entire class is pretty much going to Belgium, and then they write a brief paper about some aspect of art history culture.
So you do make them work?
Well, if you consider that work. I have one student who's writing his paper on Trappist ales.
Yeah.
Another is doing his paper on the Lambic beer style.
Very nice.
One of our favorites. We just had Lambic style, an old brown style from New Belgium, the La Folie, on the last show.
Oh, I love La Folie.
Yeah, that's quite a tart little beer there.
Peter Bucard is amazing.
Yeah, so. I kind of laugh when he rails against beer styles, though. He's the anti-style guy.
Yeah.
Well, somebody needs to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Because you get too bogged down in style, you lose sight of the creativity of beer.
Now, tell us about your title and how did you get 2007 Beer Drinker of the Year? Was this like a full contact thing, like with races and obstacle courses?
Oh, yeah. Full contact sport, definitely.
Yeah. Knock down, drag out. Did you have to rip the crown from the last year's winner?
Well, I don't think so, because I think collegiality is an important part of being a beer drinker. And beer drinker is really more of a cooperative sport, not a competitive sport, in my point of view.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
I didn't try to do anything too underhanded or dirty.
So what was the competition like? Just kind of give us an idea.
Well, you send in a beer resume to the Wynn Coop, which is a very well-known brew pub in Denver. Actually, it was started by Denver's mayor, John Hickenlooper, before he was mayor. It's in a beautiful old building, and they run this contest every year. And by December 31st, New Year's Eve, you're supposed to send in your beer resume, and that's how you apply. Basically, your beer resume has to talk about your philosophy of beer drinking and a few other things, and then you're free to put whatever you want in it, but mostly you focus on breweries that you visited or toured, brew pubs that you enjoy, beer adventures abroad or in this country, if you're into judging or if you're into home brewing or beer, whatever kind of beer esoterica you're into, you put that in your resume. They have a group of people who review all the resumes that get sent in and narrow it down to the top 10. And then that top 10 goes to another set of kind of subject matter experts, and they may be writers or brewers or journalists, and they narrow it down to the top 3. And if you're in the top 3, you get a free trip to Denver to appear in the finals. And I actually was in the finals in 06 and did not win and came back and won in 07.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you. And it's not unusual. Some people who have won, it took them 3 or 4 free trips to Denver for the finals to finally win.
So once you've won, do you now have to, like, sit out for a few years, or?
Well, it's really a title for life.
Ah.
So you don't have to defend the title, which is a beautiful thing.
Okay.
In future years, and the contest, the finals are, oh, I think it's like, usually about third week in February. So in future contests, once you've won, you get to go out and be a judge
for
the future contest. So, and they will pay for hotel if you come back and judge in subsequent years. And it's a great party. I mean, whether you're a judge, whether you're a contestant, win, lose, or draw, it's a great party and a great opportunity to just meet a lot of beery people and drink a lot of great beer in Denver.
As a college professor, I'm kind of surprised you're not calling it a curriculum vitae or vitae.
Actually, I titled it my curriculum vita.
Oh, okay. There we go.
Good idea. Great minds think alike.
Yeah.
And drink alike.
Because I know in the academia world, there are no resumes.
But it's a fun contest to apply for. And if you get in, even when I got in top 10 in 05, before I even got into the finals, even getting into top 10, I managed, there was like a little article in the local paper, and I got, you know, a lot of real positive attention brought to beer just by being in the contest, even though I only made top 10 that year, as did my husband, Chris. He also made the top 10.
Oh, okay.
In 05.
So your husband shares your interest in beer.
Yes, yes. It's a fun
that helps a lot.
Topic.
Yeah, it really does help a lot to explain why you want to go to countries and out-of-the-way places and sample different beers, and your spouse doesn't understand why.
Yeah. I joke with Chris that he's one of the few men whose wives is bugging him to get a kegerator for Christmas.
Very nice. Do you have a kegerator?
We do not.
Well, you'll be able to watch a clever segue here.
Yeah.
Rick's official how to build a kegerator video.
We just did the video like this afternoon, so
yeah,
that
yeah.
will be posted.
We did not
soon.
Plan this in advance.
Not
we
at all.
Thank you
that?
For the opportunity to plug our stuff.
Yeah. Well, I really like your philosophy that I read on the Wynn Coop site that you said that people who don't like beer just haven't met the right beer yet.
Absolutely. I truly believe it.
And I think that's something that, you know, I see people that continue to stick with the Miller Lights or Bud Lights and things like that and just don't want to talk. And the two words that come out are they go, oh, it's too bitter.
Yeah.
Or it's too hoppy. Or,
I just had a woman say that to me this morning at the YMCA where we were working out. She was complimenting me on winning. She read the article about it in the paper, and she's like, you know, I like a light beer in the summer, but some of those darker beers and those heavy beers are just too bitter.
Dark is a color.
So I guess it's a process of education, too. So
exactly. So I used that as an opportunity to try to talk to her about different beers, and we're going to work on, she's going to get a triple next time she's at one of our local beer bars.
Good.
A triple would be perfect because she would like a little more flavor, but she doesn't want a lot of bitterness. She likes a little more of an alcohol wallop. A lot of women, you don't want to have to drink, you know, 48 ounces of something to catch a buzz.
Well, 48 ounces ought to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, but with a triple, you might only need
It's a nice spicy beer. I love the Belgian doubles and triples. So you didn't have to do any beer bongs or what are these shotguns with beer cans?
No, I'm beer drinker of the year. I've never even seen a beer bong, much less used one.
Yeah, that's quantity versus quality.
Yes, the contest is definitely about knowledge and appreciation.
And not how fast you can pound a 12-pack.
Oh, not at all. Yeah. As a matter of fact, if you can pound a 12-pack pretty fast, that's a sign you're probably not appreciating your beer.
That's a good sign of that, exactly.
Now, I'm sure in your samplings, looking at the different regions of the country, mm-hmm. do you have a favorite region?
Well, you know, I'm from the East Coast and the Northeast. I live now in Norfolk, Virginia, so I should be giving props to some of the great East Coast brewers. There's Dogfish Head and Stouts, and here in Hampton, Virginia, we have a great St. George Brewing Company. We've got Legend out of Richmond. But I would have to say, since I don't get the stuff from the Pacific Northwest, California, Colorado, that much, except when I go to the Great American Beer Festival or if I travel to the West Coast, I kind of have a soft spot for some of the hoppy things from the Pacific Northwest and a lot of great Colorado breweries, mm-hmm. Belgium being among them, Great Divide, and so forth. Oscar Blues, got to give props to Oscar Blues out in Lyons, Colorado.
Yeah, that's a good beer for a can. You know, well, I shouldn't say that for a can. It's a great beer. Period.
Yeah. So I really love all the different styles, trying to pick one part of the country, it's tough to do.
Well, Diane, I know you've got a lot of things that, as the beer drinker of the year, you're probably obligated to do. Are you doing any kind of educational or beer promotional things in conjunction with WinCoop, or is it pretty much here you go, you're on your own?
Well, pretty much on my own. However, one aspect of the prize with WinCoop is that I believe, they haven't quite confirmed this, but I believe I get to work with their brewer to develop a recipe that will be brewed for next year's contest.
Oh, very nice.
That's
nice.
Exciting. But I've been trying to promote beer as best I can. My goal, I would love to be able to work with different restaurants and bars that currently don't have a great beer selection. Like, sometimes people work on improving their wine service. Well, I'd like to help restaurants and bars select beers that would be great paired with the foods that they offer.
That'd be the
fine dining restaurants.
99% of the bars around here have pathetic beer selections. Uh-huh. So
yeah, the same old, same old.
Yeah.
Right, and I think part of it is that the distributors and industry reps maybe give benefits to bar and restaurant owners and some convenience. By letting them handle all their taps.
I was in a restaurant last night and I said, "What kind of beer you got?" And she goes, "Lots."
Yeah.
It's like, all right, name a few of them, please, you know. And about the best thing they had was the Sierra Nevada, which is a good pale ale.
Yeah,
And thank heavens for that. Right.
Yeah, I know. That's about the only redeeming beer. Hopefully you can find that or a Newcastle, and that's about it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Right. The rest were the Bud Lights and the Coors.
Yeah. I was at a bar the other day, and a very nice, beautiful, restored theater in downtown Norfolk, and I asked what kind of beer they had, and the gal said, "Everything." Well, we narrowed it down to the best thing that they had was Sam Adams.
Well, that's a good fallback position.
Yeah.
Thank heavens they had that. But
Yeah.
They definitely didn't have everything. I should have just started, okay, I'll have a Duvel. I'll have a Dutch. I'll have the Duchess de Bourgogne. How about an old Chub?
Yeah, exactly.
Anything from New Belgium.
I'd say, what?
That would have taken a long time, though, so.
Yeah.
Well, Dan, we sure appreciate you giving us a few minutes, and hopefully we'll catch up with you down the road, and maybe you can share some more of your experiences and things that you've done.
My pleasure, and thanks for all the great stuff that you guys are doing at the Big Foamy Head.
All right, thanks, Diane.
Thank you
We'll talk
much.
To you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
So that was Diane. Great I thought interview. That was a great interview.
It was. Yeah. And, you know, the rest of it, we just kept talking. Afterwards, and I know we talked every bit as long as the interview. I mean, it was just a lot of fun. Yeah. She is just full of information, and I love the fact, and I know you were sitting there just like kicking yourself, your dream here, that your wife suggests that you get a kegerator for Christmas.
That's right, yeah.
That's amazing. Like, oh, man, is that something or what? So she's cool, and we're going to have her back. She's got to come back and participate and weigh in on some of these pressing issues.
And once you're a beer drinker of the year, you're a beer drinker of the year for life.
That's
right. You don't have to defend
you
it.
You don't give it. Yeah, you don't have to defend it. It's yours. So they nominate an event every year, and
she was trying to encourage people to actually submit their beer resumes. So
yeah, and I looked.
I think you ought to submit your beer resume.
Yeah, right. It's like the Jerry Lewis of beer, the Nutty Beer Professor. I looked her up, and this is funny that I'd looked her up before, and there's the one article that I found. And so since the last time I went and Googled her, she's been
in a bunch. It is legal in most states.
In Tennessee, we don't talk about it, but we do Google.
You can Google anybody but your own relative.
That's right. That's Mississippi.
But the question is, was it good for her?
Yeah.
It's never good for her.
We Googled Diane, and she's been getting a lot of press. And so we're glad to see that.
I saw one disturbing picture with Barbies on
the
beer bottles.
Yeah. We're going to have to snarf that picture. Go look for here's your task.
Beer
search for Diane Catanzaro.
No, it's trailer trash bar.
We may not say her name properly, and notice that we're taking our time enunciating her name. But when you go and search for her, follow the link and find the picture with beer drinking Barbie. That's pretty cool.
Disturbing.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got a lot more coming up, and we've got...
We do. We have Beer Haiku coming.
We got Beer Haiku. We got news. We're back on track. Shout-outs.
We got another growler.
We got another growler staring us in the face. We're in rare form tonight.
We're loose.
And we've got another guy here. This guy... He's got a biography and a half, but you take a listen here. This is another one of our Memphis in May artists coming up, Watermelon Slim and the Workers.
I was riding a shotgun in the devil's Cadillac. I was riding a shotgun in the devil's Cadillac. We was heading for the crossroads with a monkey on my back. We're doing 90, rolling on down the road. We was doing 90 miles an hour, rolling on down the road. We was heading for the crossroads, just as hard as we could go. The Cadillac was so silent, like the inside of a hearse. The air conditioning was so cold, like a tomb or maybe worse. We stopped, he said we're here. I looked at deserted farmer's fields. I didn't say a word, but I knew that I'd made a deal. But I knew, oh, I knew
he disappeared. He said all he had to say. Now I'm wondering if he'll keep his word and what the price I'm gonna pay. I'm wondering if he'll keep his word and what the price I'm gonna pay.
Cadillac.
That's a creepy-ass haunting song.
With more imagery of the crossroads.
That's right.
Kind of having forum discussions regarding the crossroads. Yep. And it's a persistent image in blues music.
It is. The idea that you have to sell your soul to the devil to really capture the heart and soul of the blues. And Robert Johnson allegedly did it. Tommy Johnson confessed to doing it.
Admitted to doing it. And Tommy Johnson was the character that Chris Thomas King from our last show 70
played.
He played in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yeah. And so blues is a very cool genre. You know, you can get all over the place. We were listening to several Watermelon Slim songs, deciding, okay, which one are we going to play?
And he's kind of an interesting character, huh?
He's a weird cat. He's got degrees in history and journalism, and he's got a second degree in history from Oklahoma State, I believe.
A member of Mensa.
And truck driver and Vietnam vet. And the deal is he...
A blues artist.
He is a blues artist, but he's been going at this for a while. And one of his earliest works was during the Vietnam War. But he really didn't kind of come to prominence until a life-altering event several years back. He had a heart attack. And whatever it was that occurred in him, all of a sudden everything he did just started getting attention. His previous album... work by himself got a lot of notoriety. He's been nominated for 6 Handy Awards, Blues Awards.
W.C. Handy. I'm going to take the opportunity to plug my video that we may or may not make it to prime time.
We're going to have some cuts from that on
it there. It is my wandering down Beale Street, which is probably the happiest place on earth.
And this is the mandatory video. Again, you have to watch it. We track you by your IP address. We'll know if you didn't watch it.
We haven't actually done this one. This is my drunk ass wandering down Beale Street.
Well, we're going to cut that in on the prelude and after of it. It's
going
to be
on
there.
Some tricky editing.
But it's really cool. You know, we're trying to bring y'all, we tell you about Memphis, and now we're going to try and show you a little of it.
We have big bronze statues dedicated to W.C. Handy. Mm-hmm. We have W.C. Handy Park, where blues artists are invited to come and perform in an outdoor forum every night.
Yeah, and try and screw you out of money.
Anytime you come to Memphis, you can go to W.C. Handy Park and get some entertainment for free.
Yeah, you can get the live blues right there. And
sometimes you can get accosted by panhandlers.
Yeah, you can.
You always do.
Yeah.
And because sometimes the band bring their little lackeys or whatever that go shuffling around trying to
go hit you up.
Take your money.
And we have a CD in hand right here. This hand-printed deal that Rick bought.
Last night.
$20.
And I was in Handy Park just a couple months ago, and it was quite an interesting show.
Did you get handled?
No, but they got the biggest response out of AC/DC hits.
Oh, they were playing like the blues version of AC/DC? Really cool. The band in the little shell there?
Uh-huh.
Man, I love those guys. They've got like a sort of, you can't call them a house band because there ain't no house. It's a
shell park.
I thought it was first come, first serve. Obviously, they must have some system for figuring out who's going to play that night. But
if you want to see real, honest God live blues, these guys they're there. That's where it's happening.
And they were walking through the audience, which was really surprised the heck out of me. I mean, they were coming up and they were just they picked up their instruments and horns and
very cool
playing AC/DC, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Well, why not? You know, everything comes from blues. That's what we maintain. But we got a lot more stuff. We've got a beer. We're down half a growler. My God, this is our fourth growler. We're down halfway. What are we drinking here, Rick?
This is the Sly Rye Porter, and this has become my favorite Yazoo beer.
Amen.
It's a very tasty beer. Not available.
Little hints of smoke. It's dark. It's not overly... Well, it did pour with a huge, big, foamy head.
It did.
We like that.
Yes, sir.
Let's hear what Linus has to say about it.
Well, the slight rye porter, again, is something, it's a variation of what I call a robust English porter. We add a little bit of rye grain to it. Rye is it's a pretty exciting malt to use in brewing because it imparts a really kind of wonderful fruity flavor that comes from the rye itself, but it also really dries out the finish. So you get kind of a peppery, grainy, spicy finish to the beer. So this is a big beer. It ends up fairly sweet, and with the rye, it helps to dry it out.
Is that all you could say about it? It's a dark beer.
That's all you let me say.
I didn't say anything else. Would you like to draw the room while you guys have this out?
Okay. Now, it's a dark beer with hints of peat and smoke, a gentle coffee taste, and a slight smoky and chocolate nose.
That's the best beer review you've ever
done. Huh? Okay, thank you.
And I agree. Yeah. I concur. For a
it's sweet and smoky.
Well, this is the thing that I get that's a little different. Because we've had a lot of porters. A lot of porters. We got a stack of them there for an upcoming porter show. But I think the rye makes a little difference.
Yeah. He's
kind of got that earthiness that the rye bread, like when you bite into it. Yeah.
He was telling me what a pain it was to deal with rye. Because it gets all sticky.
And you mean in the malting of it?
It's kind of like dealing with oats, you know. It gets some.
Yeah. So did he use this? I mean, like the percentage of rye to wheat or to barley? Was it just all rye or a little rye?
Oh no, it's
or,
not all rye. It's just partially rye.
Okay. So and in the video, does he break it down into percentages or
no? No, okay. Not that detailed.
But there's enough of it.
Does this mean this is a kosher beer?
Oh, rye.
I believe it was blessed by the rabbi.
Yeah.
Very good.
I don't know.
Cool beans.
No, it's good. It's very good. Very good. Very good. I like the, and you know, porters are pretty standard. You can guess that this is a porter, depending on how close to the porter style it is, you might think it's a stout, but this is dead on in there. Got the chocolate, got the coffee, right? But I think the rye adds an interesting little character to it.
This is my favorite Yazoo beer.
Does somebody need to let Starbucks know about this?
They should. No.
That's good.
Starbucks ought to put some taps in there.
Yeah.
And know to have
they should. Mm-hmm. Well, if they keep losing market share, they're going to have to.
Are they losing market share?
Oh, yeah, they are.
Yeah, I read their.
All of a sudden, Americans are saying, what the hell are we doing paying $3.50 for a cup of coffee?
Yeah, well, why do we need a Starbucks every 20 feet?
What I read is they're concerned about where the dollars are coming from. The coffee is going down, but the other sales are the albums and the. Or not albums, but CDs and
all the other impulse items. Buy stuff. Yeah. But there's not as much profit margin on that.
But that's killing their sales on their coffee.
I thought you were going to say it's kind of like blood diamonds. We got blood coffee beans going on here.
They're trying to figure out a way to get the revenue back toward the coffee instead of the other items.
Well, why are they going to be struggling. Opening 40,000 stores in the next year?
Yeah, I heard that too. Yeah. And Jay Leno. Everywhere. My favorite source of news it was on Leno.
Well, I refuse to buy a mocha frappuccino half calf, half soy. I just go in and say,
I go and give me a black coffee.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
And then $1. 75, give me a black coffee.
Or better yet, just give me a sly rye porter.
Yeah.
Even better.
Oh, that'd be great.
Even better, wouldn't it?
About 8 in the morning with a biscotti.
That's
right. Just not for breakfast anymore.
A little breakfast beer there.
You know what I'm in the mood for?
What?
A little beer haiku.
All right. Well, then shall you, Rick? Please enlighten us with some more culture to just lift us out of this gutter of depravity and decadence that we're in.
Cue the music. Beer Haiku by Captain Hops. Beer, blues, barbecue. Everything to save my soul. Pump straight to my brain. Beer Haiku.
Culture. Brilliant.
You heard it here first.
And I Wonderful. Want to know what happened to Daniil.
You're Captain Hops. And
Thank
Daniil.
You, Captain Hops, for writing up that little ditty for us.
And then if you didn't figure it out, that was about us. That was very cool of Captain Hops. And this is
that was at the Big Foamy Head Haiku.
Very cool. That's at beerhaikudaily.com. And they're there every day.
Every day.
Every day.
365, 24/7.
That's right. So
go get you some haiku.
Please check them out. And we appreciate that immensely. And they're just funny as hell. The problem we got
one
is
more blog to plug.
We do. We have
Something
another
we've been
blog.
Remiss.
Well, we have our blog plug segment. There is a blog that I've been looking at this for a while, and I think we might have mentioned it like 100 years back. But this is one that everybody who drinks beer needs to know about. And if you go and search for beer blog, they rank way up in the top.
Well, isn't blog short for beer log?
That's it. That's
beer logging. What,
beer logging.
It,
you are correct, sir. But this one is very cool. It's called A Good Beer Blog. Simple enough title, straight to the point. But they got a weird URL. It's beerblog.genx40.com. And we've That's got weird. That link.
Ain't that a mouthful?
Yeah. We've got that on our website. beerblog.genx40.com.
Actually, if you're like? 40, you're not in Gen X.
Well, what it is Alan, the webmaster and proprietor of A Good Beer Blog, started this, and he's a very prolific writer, posts a lot.
But I think our Gen Xers are about 30 years old now.
No.
Because that was a fad 10 years ago. No,
they're coming into the 40s.
Well, my question is, what does it sound like before four growlers?
Oh, well, no, this is a blog.
Is that like the sound of one hand clapping?
We did beers in last show. but you got to check this out.
Martin, rewind. Give us a moment of beers in.
Beers in?
Yes.
I'm not really sure what beers in would be.
How did that sound before four growlers? That would be beers in.
Oh, okay.
As a beer haiku moment. Yeah. The sound of petals falling. No, wait. It's my face on the floor.
Was that haiku?
I don't know. It's damn close. But I got the syllable count wrong. That was impromptu beer haiku.
The best I can do is beer, the magical fruit. The more you eat, the more you poop.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. The more you drink, the more you poop.
That's there
you
go. Subculture there. But anyway,
that's a beer style. That's
why I haven't been
beer.
Here for the last
but,
30 shows.
But we digress.
Man, four the, growlers, you will digress.
Yeah, four growlers are anybody's.
I feel sorry for our guests on the show because...
guests? You had guests?
Yeah, we did. We had quite a good interview, actually.
But. Okay. Our beer blog, genx40.com. A good beer blog. Alan, the proprietor. He's gone out of his way to review a lot of beers. I believe it's over 800 posts.
Damn.
That's a hell of a lot. He has many, many guest posters from all parts of the world. And, as we mentioned before, the beer blogs are all doing the Beer Blog Friday, first Friday of every month.
We did mention it.
A good beer blog is the host of this coming month's blog fest, and Alan has chosen doubles as the topic.
Ooh.
So we know about us some doubles. Maudit, yes sir. We are
is Maudit
going,
a double?
Yes sir, it is.
Okay.
We are going to be participating in is that as
I know
well.
Clark does a double.
He does at Dude Night. And we're going to we encourage you to take a visit and check out A Good Beer Blog. And there's another beer blog that we need to mention, and this is a beer blog near and dear to our hearts because we're on it, and there isn't a whole hell of a lot of writing, but there is a lot of listening. This is a beer blog of all of your favorite beer podcast, beersafari.com. And it's funny because this is kind of like, you know, your family, the kids are right there, so you don't really talk about them. And I heard Groucho from the Beer Report mentioning beersafari.com, plugging it. I was like, you know, we've been slacking
off. We should be promoting it. Right?
We need to be promoting it. It is a great source for you to go to beersafari.com. All
it's
of your favorite
aggregate.
It is an aggregate of all of the beer podcasts.
So if you only want to subscribe to one podcast, that'd be the one to subscribe
That's
to.
That's right. You're going to get a lot of content. And
because you get almost all the new feeds.
And there's more stuff coming. It's coming. We're hard at work coming up with more and more content on Beer Safari. Soon you'll be able to see.
People are thinking and thinking and
we're
thinking.
We're pontificating and coming up with all kinds of stuff. But soon coming your way, Beer TV. More information about that in future shows, and you'll hear about it on all the other beer podcasts on Beer Safari.
To compete with Bud TV.
Oh, yeah.
We'll whoop their ass.
We're going to whip their ass.
We're going to whoop them.
We don't have $30 million, but...
Kind of like Memphis, just
we're from
Texas
Africa. We can. That's right.
Now, are we going to be able to get this in the glass that will notify our waitress to let us know when it's nearly empty?
Yeah, oh, man. Yeah, notify the waitress that our growler is almost empty.
Nice connection to the beer news segment with Rick Light.
It's time for Big Foamy Head Beer Witness News, the latest breaking, hop-hitting, no-holds-barred coverage of the malt and barley world. Sit back, crack a cold one, and get ready for...
This is an A1 four-alarm red, white, and blue alert.
Beer News.
Hey, we've got an interesting story out of North Dakota. There's a group of students up there working to gather 15,000 signatures on petitions to get an initiative on a statewide ballot to raise the beer tax in North Dakota. The group involved in this is the Students Against Destructive Decisions. That's a group with the acronym SAD. And they say that $1.3 million in new tax revenue would go to finance a new state commission that would work to prevent alcohol and drug abuse. The students' plans call for the raising of the draft beer tax from 8 cents a gallon to 16 cents a gallon, and the tax on beer in cans and bottles from 16 cents to 24 cents.
It's almost too easy to make fun of these guys. Yeah, let's just say they're sad.
But, you know, that you got to applaud. These are kindergarten children, so they don't know. Because you said they're kindergarten students, right?
No, well, they're younger kids. I think this is like a middle school and a high school program.
So we need to go back at them with a milk tax.
So nobody can actually vote? Yeah. And certainly nobody who's of drinking age supports this, right?
Yeah. Daddy drinks because you cry too much.
Well, you know, these students claim that North Dakota youth have the highest rate of binge drinking in the nation. And, well, you know, that sort of speaks for itself.
It's because they live in North Dakota.
That's right.
It's cold up there.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Well, hey, you know, speaking of binge drinking, in recent seasons, you've not been able to enjoy a cold beer in the bleachers at Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles, but that's set to change. The bleacher seats have long been a place for fans who want to spend under $10 a game and still see a Major League Baseball game. In a number of stadiums, beer sales and bleachers have been banned in recent years, and I guess all it takes is for some fool to dump their $7 plastic cup of suds on the head of a $7 million outfielder, and you get the beer banned in bleachers.
Okay. Well, yeah, you need to keep it in your lap.
Well, Los Angeles is a pretty scary place, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have to realize the caliber of people that they're talking about. These are East L.A. gangsters, you know.
Right, and because you were when you were running with the Crips, I mean.
That's right. No, I was the Bloods.
Okay, I'm sorry. I see the shirt. You're still wearing your colors.
Yeah, I'd have to kill you for calling me a Crip.
You're wearing the blue colors, man. My mistake. They're finally going to let beer back into the stands for the Dodger fans. That's just great.
So the fans,
bleachers, but it's kind of interesting because they're allowing it in this area called the Right Field Pavilion, and they've got a marketing gimmick going where you pay either $35 in advance or $40 on the day of the game. And with your ticket, you get all the hot dogs, nachos, peanuts, and soft drinks you can handle. You have to buy your beer. But it kind of appears that someone in the Dodgers organization believes that fans paying, you know, $35 for a ticket would never dump a beer on an opponent's head, but it's the fans that are paying $8 a ticket that can't be trusted.
Okay, so they're gonna hit them where in the pocketbook, make sure they get a better class of drunks.
And yeah, exactly.
All right. Oh, I can see that.
So these fans will have their beer goggles on, right?
Well, you know, maybe to watch the Dodgers, you might need it this season. I'm not sure. But, you know, I don't know if when you were growing up, I remember in a couple of restaurants in my old hometown in Syracuse, they had like a doorbell-like button in your booth where you sat during dinner, and you could buzz your waitress to get like another drink or ask for the check. Did you guys have that where you were?
In the old diners, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, in most of those places where, when I was growing up, those buttons were disconnected because of kids like me that just couldn't resist constantly buzzing their waitresses through dinner. But, you know, enter the computer age with microchip sensors and wireless connectivity, and you've got a company called Mitsubishi Electric Research Laboratories, or MERL. They're based in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And they've developed a product called iGlassware. And these are new glasses equipped with sensors that send digital signals to restaurant wait stations when your glass is nearly empty. So you're sitting there, you're enjoying a beer, and you get down to about a third of it left, and suddenly your server appears, and she wants to know if you want a refill.
Well, that's cool. So these are real beer goggles.
Yeah, these are real beer goggles, beer glasses, exactly. And the interesting thing is that research suggests that customers are 40% more likely to order another round if the waiter asks for a refill before they've actually finished their current drink.
Very cool. Have to get some of those and see if our wives will respond accordingly.
Well, the way the Memphis waiters are, it's just one more thing they can ignore.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, let's see how long the guy will stare at his glass.
What's that
I
beeping?
I was hoping this might be a cure for bad service. I've been getting I've had a bad streak of that lately.
Well, now, if they will attach these beer goggles to shock collars fastened about the waitress's head, then we might have something. It's in their best interest to show up, you know.
Rick, how do they work?
Rick, are you keeping score here? Dick has now got his wife upset at him, and now he's taking on the entire waitress community.
Well, that's all right. We got plans to alienate entire countries here shortly.
And half of East Los Angeles.
I was curious, Rick, how do they work? What do they sense, or how do they know that the beer glass is a third?
They have a sensor in the glass that can tell when the liquid passes by the sensor, and it's actually wired to your table, which is a wireless connection to your table, which then sends a signal right to the wait station, and so they get a little bell that goes off and tells them it's time to go to table 32.
Are the beer distributors going to pick the tab up on this, or will the restaurant, or what? What do you think?
Well, I think that the restaurant, the interesting thing is that this Mitsubishi says they haven't found any takers for the system yet, but you got to believe that maybe one of these big guys like Anheuser-Busch would look at this and say, "Hey, we could sell more beer."
Yeah, or a national chain of restaurants. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And speaking of Anheuser-Busch, they just won the latest round in the ongoing dispute with their Czech rival, Bezoky Budvar. They won a battle in the Italian court this past month where the Court of Appeals struck down Budvar's appeal to get a trademark for the names Budweiser, Budbrow, and Budweiser, Budvar.
The Budvar, I know they're still battling, and we talked offline about the bankruptcy suit, allegedly, and that's kind of fell off the radar. So these guys are just like fighting this beer war. And this has been going on forever, right?
Yeah, it's been going on for decades, country by country, and you know, the rumors about Budvar and their financial issues, it's more likely that they're going to end up being sold by the Czech government. I mean, that brand is got enough equity in it. Who knows? There might be a certain U.S. brewer or two who might want to buy it.
Just buy it to shut them up, you know?
But it's a government-owned or majority government-owned brewery.
Yeah,
right?
it's the last major Czech brewery to be in the control of the government. And speaking of control, my last item tonight is a little weird. There's an Islamic court in South Africa right now that is looking at carbon dioxide and trying to decide if Coke products in South Africa are safe for Muslims to drink. The Islamic law does not allow Muslims to drink alcohol. Well, in South Africa, SAB owns the Coca-Cola brand franchise in that country, or at least the bottlers in that country, and they came up with an idea a few years ago to use surplus carbon dioxide from the brewing process when they make beer to help put the little bubbles in their soft drink. Well, now the Muslim courts are looking at that, and they're wondering if they can allow their faithful to still consume those Coke products.
This is retarded. I have nothing else to say other than it's retarded. Don't these people have something real to worry about, like starving children in the streets that we see pictures of all the time, you know?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, though, that the gas pipes run through a bunch of pig fat, too, on the way.
Oh, man.
So... They probably shouldn't let them know that either.
Well, guys, I'm one of those people that believes, hey, if your religion tells you to to do something or not do something, as long as it's not hurting anybody, that's fine by me. But this one, I look at it and I go, isn't gas gas?
Yeah.
Gas is gas. It's carbon and two oxygens. It's
Well, hey, that's enough gas from the news, guys. I guess I'll be talking to you next week.
Enjoy your vacation.
Yeah, have a good trip. Thanks, Rick.
We'll see you now.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, we even call them beer goggles. That's the ever-informative Rick-like.
And always on top of the news, and that not a beer goggles, it's called eyeglassware.
Eyeglassware.
Man.
And it's electronic wear in your glass.
Yeah.
Let you know when you're ready to buy a new round.
So. Martin was talking about that earlier. We could have used some of those to keep an eye on our growlers, which are almost gone from this fine beer from Yazoo Brewery.
We finished the porter, the Sly Rye Porter, my favorite of the evening.
Very good.
We have to give a lot of thanks to Linus for the wonderful interview he gave us yesterday at the...
The Flying Saucer, yeah.
Flying Saucer, and for providing us with growlers. And
yeah, fantastic beer. Hopefully, it's
if you're in Nashville area or Memphis right now, just check them out. Mm-hmm. Look for them.
And they're on the rise. They'll be expanding. I'm sure we'll see great things in the future from them.
Many thanks to Diane, the Absolutely, beer drinker yeah of the year, for providing right us with a.
Diane has no website, but do a Google for Diane Catanzaro, or go to our website.
You can Google her while it's still legal in most of the states.
And visit beerblog.genx40.com. Again, the link is on Big Foamy Head. Make sure you watch the mandatory video. You have to watch it.
You have to watch it.
And go back, review all the songs, all
Subscribe
the artists.
Subscribe to beersafari.com or at Absolutely least check the page.
Yeah, check the page out. There's a lot of good beer podcasts out there. We're just one of them.
Maybe go to Beer Haiku.
Beer Haiku Daily.
Congratulations again to the Memphis Tigers for making it to the Elite Eight
and
the Sweet 16.
Looking forward to seeing all of you when you take the bus down to Memphis for Memphis in May. We're going to close out with yet another Memphis in May performer, Rick's favorite, Tab Benoit.
I like that guy.
His cool
music is stuck in my brain.
And we'll see you next time.
Drive safe.
someone. I was thinking about you, baby, all of the time. There's some thoughts are running through my mind. Yes, I know it's down a bay. Oh, goodbye, you be too much a dream. Oh, I'm certain all up and down for my baby. No.